Okay, good morning, everybody. We're going to make the most of this time together. I'm Nancy Fuchsin. I'm one of the conference committee members, and I'm really pleased to be able to host this session. There is a little bit of housekeeping that I'd like to do before we start, and that is we have some guidelines that every session will have. We are recording, and we'd like you all to listen with an open mind, and we're all here to learn. The presenters, because this is a kind of small, lovely small group, will take questions as you have them. We'd like you to keep your question to one question and make it brief so that everybody who wants to ask questions can. We're going to go right until 5 minutes before noon, and then there will be some back of the session housekeeping. And we acknowledge that some of the subjects might contain sensitive information. And although we can't guarantee confidentiality, we do ask that you not repeat any of the personal information that has been shared today. Just absolute housekeeping, bathrooms are off the main hallways to this right. Without further ado, let me introduce. I'm sorry.
You had to talk the questions in
a
box.
Oh, that's right. This is what we call a catch box. And I won't, because we're small, I won't be throwing it to you literally. But if you do have a question, raise your hand and I will bring the mic to you. Okay? Our guests today include Tracy Keebler, who is the founding director of START Senior Solutions. She holds a master's in gerontology, and she's a certified teacher holding multiple certifications through Tipa Snow's Positive Approach to Care. And our co-presenter is Lynn Berkren, a registered nurse with over 40 years of experience in behavioral health, extensive experience in coaching and communication, and her current role is as an outreach nurse to START Senior Solutions, which is just the right way to use these skills to advocate for seniors and their families. So without further ado, Tracy and Lynn.
All right. People are still coming in, and thank you all for being here. Use these notes. So this is when Tabitha asked us to come and speak. She asked us to cover two really big topics. She said, can you cover from our advocacy work, what we see are some of the telltale signs that somebody might be having cognitive issues that a lot of people might be dismissive of. So we're going to cover those. Oh. So this is where we're going to go today. So we're going to learn some of those often ignored early signs of dementia. This is going to go by very quickly. And then we're going to try to spend most of our time going through some skits where you can observe positive communication skills for working with someone who's living with dementia. And Tabitha was talking about when we try to have a conversation with mom, mom, can I help you? Mom, I think we need to think about getting some care here. Mom, you know, those difficult conversations, and those are the kinds of skits that we're going to be practicing later on today. And I think we're good so far. And since we're not kind of sitting at tables, we have handouts that cover the agenda for today and also why each of the skits works and what are some of the key takeaways for those skits to remember when you have to have one of your difficult conversations. All right. Okay, so what are the things that we know about dementia? When someone is diagnosed having one of the types of dementia, we know that these things are true, that it's both a structural change in the brain and that there are chemical changes happening in the brain. So when there are structural changes, that means the brain is getting smaller, that the connections are not there that used to be. But we also know that there are chemical changes that are happening in the brain. So it's the chemical changes that allow mom to be lucid right now and having a good conversation, and then just moments later, that chemical change can it can happen, and then she can be gone again. So both of those things can be happening. We know that two or more parts of the brain are being impacted, like the frontal lobe and the occipital lobe or the temporal lobes. So two parts of the brain are being impacted. And we know that if you have a dementia diagnosis, any of the types of dementia, that it is continual, it is progressive, it will get worse, and it is not curable. So those are all things that we know to be true about dementia. So some of the changes that we notice might be subtle changes in personality. So people just may react differently than they used to. Completely, this is not how my mom or my dad or my loved one would have reacted to this exact same situation 10 years ago. It's just different. As a result of maybe them being somewhat aware of their own cognitive challenges, they may start to withdraw from some of their social activities and avoided the things that they used to enjoy. So what might that look like? So Lynn had told me that a friend of hers, she had called and said, "Hey, I can't make it to dinner tonight." The friend had an explosive reaction. It was a really big reaction to, "Hey, I need to reschedule." That's not like her. My mom, she was caregiver for my dad, and who had a lung disease, and there was a conflict in his doctor's appointment, and so we had to reschedule my dad's appointment. My mom was a mother of 8 children, and she had 30 foster children. She could handle 100 things at once. But when I changed that appointment, oh my gosh, it was like, how could you possibly change that? I can't just adjust to a change like that. It's like, whoa, mom's been caring for dad, and we haven't noticed that mom's having trouble, right? So you can notice subtle changes in personality. People can have difficulty finding their words, losing their train of thought, or they're just not able to follow the conversation. May pause more often. Some of these things are perfectly normal aspects of aging. Sometimes you might substitute a word, and the example I like to give is this one. I'm trying to think of the word coconut. If I'm just normal aging, I will say, you know, that white flaky stuff that's really sweet. I might say that. But if I actually have dementia, I might not be able to come up with anything that's near white flaky stuff. I'm going to talk about a brown hairy ball in the brown stuff because that's what a coconut looks like. I'm really far away from the thing I'm trying to describe. But it could also look like I just can't follow a conversation. And now when there's a lull in the conversation, I'm going to talk about my high school days because that's what I'm familiar with and I know that I can talk about that. Or when it comes time for me to contribute to the conversation, it is a total non sequitur. It just does not follow or fit in with the flow of everything that has gone on before. Those could be indications something's not quite right. Trouble managing daily tasks and problem solving. Normal routines just might take longer, require a lot more effort. You may struggle with steps that are imminently familiar. You know how to do this. You've been doing this forever, and now it's hard. I believe that as a, a public service, all utility companies should have somebody on staff so that if there's a person who's been paying their bill for the last 20, 30, 40 years on time, every month, water, gas, electricity, those normal utility bills, and now all of a sudden that person starts missing those bills, it should be the utility company, in my opinion, that should have somebody who can go out and try to make the assessment and help them figure out, is something wrong, or am I just going to fine you month after month because you haven't paid your bill? Those are also telltales that something's not quite right, a change is happening. The common one that a lot of us know is the repeating question, telling the same story over and over again. So they may forget that they've already told you something. It could happen every 15 minutes. Like, I forgot I told you that, so I'm going to tell you it over again, but some amount of time has gone by. And the shorter the amount of time that goes by between the questions, it starts to indicate it's a bigger problem, that your memory can only hold things for a very short amount of time. Your brain does. It just has trouble storing new information. But the trick, and this is what trips up so many of the clients that we work with, is that there are things that remain. So you may repeat, but I'm the daughter who lives here with Mom, and I can see her struggling on a daily basis. I am getting a really good picture of what's happening in Mom's life. Now my sister flies in from California. She comes home and she can have a nice conversation with Mom. Hey, how you doing? How are the kids? Oh, everything going well? How's the new job? Mom can have that chit-chat conversation. My sister from California says, I don't know what you're talking about. Mom's perfectly fine. And that, I would say, is one of the biggest factors in people missing that there's a problem. Because chit-chat remains. Some of us don't ever have conversations with people that go beyond that chit-chat stage, right? But if that rhythm of speech remains, and so many of our families just deny, well, Mom is perfectly fine. And it is that piece, I would say, is the one to really watch out for. Am I thinking Mom is fine just because we had a nice chit-chat social conversation, or do I need to dig deeper? Does that all make sense? Because that's a big one. Getting lost in familiar places. Now, there are times when I can't park in my favorite spot at Costco and I have to park on the other side of the parking lot, and I'll walk out the door and I will think, oh, where am I parked? Oh, I'm on the other side. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about the person who is wandering around the parking lot, the parking ramp, for hours because, A, they can't find their car, but they also can't imagine how else to solve the problem. I can't find my car, and I'm searching and searching and searching, but I can't ask for help either. I don't know who to call. I don't know how to go and get help. To be completely lost because you've missed a piece of geography, maybe because there was a car in the way and you missed the exit. So you can have Mom think she's driving 15 minutes to go visit daughter. A semi is obscuring the exit. And Mom continues until she runs out of gas, because women can't stop and ask for directions, because that means there's something wrong. You know, we're not capable and independent. But I can run out of gas. That is more acceptable. And so Mom may be in Duluth by the time we get the call. So getting lost in familiar places is another sign. Increasing difficulty with decisions and judgment. Making choices between things that we normally do in our life just get harder. We're out at a restaurant, and we're not at a really expensive restaurant that only has six things on the menu. We're at like Applebee's, where there's pages and pages of things to pick from. And I can't make a choice because I can't whittle down the information so that I can make a, I think I'll have this, right? Misjudging situations, such as trusting scam callers, dressing inappropriately for the weather, making inappropriate, having inappropriate conversations with strangers would be another one. This is the example I'll give. I had taken a friend of mine who's living with dementia out for appetizers and maybe a drink. And he got up from the table and he went over to a couple, a young couple that was sitting at the next table, and he said, "You know what? He's just giving you all of these drinks so he can get home and take advantage of you when he gets home." That would be an example of increasing difficulty making good judgment decisions.
Even though it's probably true.
Even though it was probably true, but we all have that filter where we know we don't do that. And we also don't go up to pregnant women and say, "I know what you were doing 9 months ago," you know, which he did that as well. So, difficulty processing too much information, lack of that impulse control, making bad decisions, trusting people who are not trustworthy. Honestly, my biggest fear with this gentleman was that anybody who called and asked for his Social Security number, he would give it to them. So it's all very tough. The thing to remember in all of these things that I've shared, these are the ones that we see that come up most often that people will dismiss as normal aging, and it's nothing that we should be checking out. Any of these don't automatically mean that you have dementia. "Oh my God, I was at this seminar and she said that if you do have any of these things, it's got to be dementia." That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that there's something that needs to be checked out, because there are hundreds of medical reasons why some people are displaying cognitive issues that have absolutely nothing to do with a diagnosis that is affecting two parts of the brain, chemical and structural, progressive and terminal. It does not mean that you have dementia. It could mean you're dehydrated. It could mean that you're having your diabetes medication is not being well managed. It could mean that you have hormone or vitamin deficiencies. It could mean that you have a raging infection that you have no idea that you have. There are many, 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 many reasons why you could demonstrate cognitive issues that have nothing to do with an actual dementia diagnosis. That's one of the important things to take away today, is that any of these things doesn't automatically mean you have dementia. It means you need to be seen and figure out what's causing the issue, but it doesn't always have to be dementia. So at START, we have some core beliefs about working with people who are living with dementia. The number one core rule that we try to follow is the relationship is the most critical thing to keep intact. I'm going to show up into a room. I'm going to show up to a visit with my mom. I've got a big agenda. I got to get her up. I got to get her ready to go to the doctor. And then we've got to go do something else. And then we're going to come home. That's in my brain. It's not in hers. So I have to show up ready to play the role and work with my mom where she is. Putting my agenda aside, I will work and try to get that agenda accomplished. But the most important thing is my relationship with my mother. That's what I want to keep intact. And that is more important than the outcome for my agenda. As a care partner, we are the key to making life worth living for someone living with dementia. I can make it better for myself as a care partner and for the person living with dementia. I have to recognize that the person who's living with dementia has a lot of challenges going on in their brain, and they're doing the very best that they can. If I'm in the room with someone living with dementia, I'm the one who has to be willing to change. I have to be willing to try to step into the reality that they're giving me, because I am pretty certain I can't bring them into this one. Right? So these are some of the skills that we're going to try to demonstrate in our skit and that we'll talk about so that we can all improve our communication skills when we're working with someone who's living with dementia. And now I'm going to turn it over to Lynn.
And before I get started, anybody have any questions? Anything they want clarified from what Tracy said? No, or is it getting warm in here?
Yes.
Coming over the door?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it the window? Can we open the window? Maybe?
Well, I don't think we can get the windows on.
Yeah. But you could open the door.
Yeah, there you go. You might have to run this for me. Okay, so we're going to prepare ourselves for having a conversation, right? Whether it's a tough one or not, just this is what you should be thinking about when you're going to be having a conversation, an important, meaningful conversation. Not the one about where's the, what did you do with my socks? Not that one, but a regular, important conversation. First of all, am I the best one? Am I the best one to have this conversation with Mom? Or is my relationship not quite as good or different than my sister, my brother? Am I the right one? Remember, it's not about you. It's about the person who's living with these changes. Perhaps dementia. It's positive. We're going to keep it positive. There's not going to be any, well, you did this. Don't you remember that you forgot to pay your bills? We're not talking about that. We're going to switch that, and it's going to be a positive conversation. We're going to be curious. That's my favorite thing about conversations. Be curious. Oh, tell me more. Oh, what was that about? Did you mean this or something else? Offer to help. We want to be helpful, right? I can help you. You're not alone in this. We're going to keep going together. And what is the strengths they have? And we're going to use those. Listen for and acknowledge emotions. So this is a trick that you have to really kind of get in the headspace for, which is why you're prepared, right? You yourself are calm. You're prepared to listen to the emotion behind the statements, even when it's an angry one, even when it's a hurtful one. I had a client call me, help me, help me. And I really only met this person in person one time, but she and I had multiple conversations. Mother has to go to memory care. I think she needs to go to memory care. Tell me about what's happening. Yes, I think that's a good idea. Yes, the place you chose seems like an appropriate place. Mom got there. She visited for the first time, the daughter, and she called me and she said, I don't think I can ever forgive my mother for what she said to me today. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about, was that your mother speaking? Was that her dementia? Was that the changes in her brain? What can you do to preserve that relationship? Yes, it's hurtful. Yes, you're not going to forget it for a long time because hurtful words are hurtful words. But let's put it in perspective and maybe reframe what that was all about. But so listening and acknowledge the emotion. I hear that you're angry. I hear that you're worried. I hear that you're upset. And then remaining neutral. This is all easy, right? Very easy. So we have our five apologies, right? Now, doesn't that just really help when somebody says, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that, I'm sorry, let's start over? The intent, I'm sorry, I was trying to help. I'm sorry I made you angry. I'm sorry you are angry. The intellectual capacity person, I'm sorry, had no right to make you feel that way. I'm sorry, that should not have happened. We've all had people talk about things that weren't very pleasant, and I'm sorry, that should not have happened to you. I'm sorry, this is hard, and I hate this for you and me. I hate this for us. Okay, so we have a couple of role plays we're going to do here. So
we somehow have to transport this into a new scene. And we're sitting at a kitchen table.
Here's our table. We are not actresses, so we're not actors. Expectations. I couldn't memorize my lines. I could never do that. I'm not a good memorizer, so yes, I do have cheat sheets.
We both do.
Okay.
All right, set up the scene.
We're in the kitchen and been noticing some changes going on with Mom, but I'm the daughter. I'm in my mid-40s, and she is my mom, who's in her mid-70s. Okay. So, Mom, you look great today. Are we going to go have lunch with the Queen or something?
Oh, wow, stop it, Lynn. You know, I just thought I'd look, you know, presentable for a change.
Well, you always did know how to dress right. I wish I had your style. Say, Mom, here's your coffee.
Oh, thanks.
I just really wanted to talk to you about something important, something I noticed when I was here last week.
Oh, what's that?
Well, I noticed that when you were putting the dinner together and you were making the roast like you've done hundreds of times, that it wasn't going so well for you, and it seemed like you were struggling with what steps to take.
For heaven's sakes, I don't remember that. I was probably just tired. Can't somebody be a little bit tired, Lynn? I know you're a nurse, but can you just stop diagnosing for a change?
Yes, I hear you. I do. And I just really want to be sure that we're going to check this out. Like, you know, lots of things can cause people to misfire and our brains to misfire, and we should check it out and be sure that it's not some vitamin deficiency or your medicines or something like that going on. And I'm not saying it's dementia.
Are you sure?
Yes. It could be one of these other things I just mentioned, and then it could be very easily fixable. So
you think I need to go to the doctor to have him tell me I'm not drinking enough water? I drink enough water.
Okay, maybe it's not that. But one of those other things could be going on. How about this? How about if you just choose a day next week, either Tuesday or Thursday, and I'll take you to the doctor, we'll check it out, we'll get, you know, everything going, and we'll go to lunch. I'll even buy.
You know, I just think this is a complete waste of time, but if, as long as we have this agreement, it's one appointment.
One time.
And the minute that doctor starts lecturing me about anything, I'm out of there.
Yeah, doctors can be frustrating that way, for sure. One time, you get to decide what's happened after, and we'll have lunch.
All right, I think I can do that as long as we're just okay. Talking one appointment.
Tuesday or Thursday?
Let's go with Thursday.
Sounds great. I'll set it up. You can have lunch after. All right.
All right. Scene one. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. What did you notice?
You were very calm.
Hang on. Mm-hmm. Oh. If you're going to, yes, we have to have you recorded. So can you speak into the box? That's actually a mic.
Oh, okay. You were very calm. You knew what you wanted to accomplish. So we kind of kept at it and gave your mom leeway to be upset when she needed to be upset. Okay.
Thanks. Anybody else?
Who's next?
You gave her choices. Tuesday or Thursday.
Tuesday or Thursday. Exactly. Choices.
Somebody else.
That was good negotiation.
That is
exactly what you're doing. It's negotiating it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the patient did not say, I'm not going to do that. I'm just fine. Okay, that's the end of the part. The end of the situation.
It was too easy.
Way too easy.
Wait, we'll get there.
They get dramatically more difficult.
And you're right. And what do we do when somebody says, I'm not going, I'm not doing it, you're not going to make me, right? That is maybe this so frustrating that you're just going to stop right there, right? You're going to take a break. And you're not going to go there again right now. Maybe I'm going to come back in the afternoon. And we'll bring it up again, and we'll talk about it next time. But the seed is planted, right? I've planted the seed. Whether they can hang on to the seed or not, it's been planted. And maybe I need to be in a different mindset myself, right? I didn't get my, that's frustrating to not get your agenda met, too. So I have an example. I called ahead to a facility. I needed to take a client to a doctor's appointment. Called ahead because the appointment meant that she needed to eat lunch early. So I arrive. She eats lunch. She's got her lunch in front of her, untouched. She's like, what are you doing here? Well, I came to take you to your doctor's appointment. Nobody tells me anything around here. Never heard of that. I don't know why. They don't talk about anything. I never know anything. Okay. Be quiet for a little bit. What about your lunch? Look at that. Macaroni salad? I hate macaroni. I'm not eating that. Okay. That's all right. We stay silent a little longer. And then I said, what if we go for a ride in my car? Maybe we'll go to the doctor. we'll end up there. Oh, okay. All right. And then you can get a hamburger. Oh, yeah, because I had asked her, what does she really want for lunch? Not macaroni salad, a hamburger. All right, we'll go for a hamburger after. Much easier than fighting and saying, we got to get in the car right now or you're going to be late. No, just calm, wait, keep bringing it up in a different way.
Yeah, a little positive deception. Works.
We don't call it lying.
I know it's not lying, it's deception. I had to do that with my wife.
Yeah.
I basically told her that we both need to get a baseline, mm-hmm. both of us. Mm-hmm. It's going to be important someday in the future for one or the other of us, mm-hmm. not accusing her right. of having. And then I got her to accept that, and we went for a diagnosis, both of us.
Sure.
Fortunately, I passed, or I wouldn't be here.
Right.
But
right.
She has issues, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. That's hard.
It's very hard.
Very hard. Okay. Ready for scene two? Act two, whatever.
All right, you want to set this one up?
Yes, we're back in the kitchen. That's where all the good discussions take place, right?
Usually.
And, change it to two. When I walk in, I see that there's bills all over the place. Does this sound familiar? There's papers. There's things not paid attention to.
Bills all over the place.
Bills all over the place. And this could be an important problem to solve. Like Tracy said, who else notifies anybody that something's wrong? It's too bad. Wow, Mom, you look great today. I love how that shirt matches your eyes.
Oh, well, you know, I knew you were coming over, and I thought I'd get it out of my sweat clothes.
I appreciate it. You look good. Hey, Mom, yeah. I want to check in with you. Oh, are your hands hurting?
Yeah, they've been bothering me a little bit lately.
Let me get you a warm towel. It's probably from all those, writing all those birthday thank yous.
Right.
There. Does that feel better?
Boy, that really does feel good. Thank you.
Great. Again, I wanted to just check in and see what's happening, but I noticed this pile of bills here on the table, and some of them haven't been opened.
And when I walked through the living room, I saw some on the table there, too. And I'm just wondering if you're needing help.
Lynn, I know exactly what needs to be paid. I know exactly what's going on here.
Yeah, of course you do. You've taken care of everything all of your life. You've been managing all this since you've been alone. You have done all these great things. That's why I'm a little bit concerned, because I know how much you care about staying on top of things. So, you know, would you do me a favor? Would you show me how you like to do your bills? That way, if you need a break ever, I can just step in and do it the way you like it.
Lynn, honestly, I don't need any help. I have been handling absolutely everything in this household since long before you were born.
I hear you. This is frustrating, very frustrating, I know. And I know how much pride you take in making things right and running smoothly. And I know this is hard, and I didn't mean to make you mad. I'm very sorry. But this is important, and we're going to have this hard, we're going to have to do this together, this hard thing. It's not easy for me or you, and I'm sorry about that.
Oh, my goodness. So, do you think, I really don't think I need any help, but I can see your point that maybe at some point down the road it would be helpful to have somebody who knows what's going on around here.
Well, that's right. That's right. And you're the very strongest woman I know. And I want to be able to do things the way you like them done. So you're going to have to show me. You have to show me, and we'll be in this together.
So it'd be like back at work, and I'm the boss, and you're my assistant.
You're the boss.
All right. So here's the deal. We're doing it my way, and you will not convince me that I'm paying any bill on my phone. I'm
fair
not
enough.
Paying them on my phone.
Fair enough. That's fair. That's fair. We'll do it your way.
All right.
Absolutely. Okay. Anything you notice? Yeah.
You really didn't solve the problem, though. If there's bills all over the place, could you have picked a bill up and said, Mom, let's talk about
this
one?
We missed that in the script.
So, yes.
It was in there. We missed it. Did you have the access to the script beforehand?
Better hire him.
Oh, so you're really not giving up your bill paying. So that is also, you know, I told you about the woman that I needed to take to the doctor. That's also how I knew things were much worse than she could let me know in the moment, right? Is that she was not an accountant, but she was a legal secretary, and she had, her bookkeeping was immaculate. And pretty soon, it wasn't. And I noticed that there were a couple of things missing. So, yeah. But I didn't have anything to do with her money. So.
How are we doing?
Right.
20 minutes.
Perfect.
Okay.
Oh, hang on.
I noticed how you still presented it with helping her have as much agency as possible, and like, we're not going to force you to do it a different way than you're used to. You're the boss. This is, it's still, it's her money and her situation. And I also want to point out, like, the remain neutral piece is like, I mean, this is a skit,
right?
But like, real interactions come with so much history, and like, you've always blah blah blah, and why do you always blah blah blah, that like make that neutral piece so much harder than it could ever look.
Oh, absolutely.
Like that.
Right. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. That's why maybe that conversation took place over 3 times instead of once, because you have to acknowledge your own feelings. I'm gonna kill you, Mom, because this is serious and you don't get it. So you have to, like, be in the place, and maybe next time it's a brother that goes, because he has a different kind of relationship. And so when my mom needed help in her last days, she picked us each for a different purpose, which I thought was kind of cool, right? She didn't tell us that, but my brother is in charge of all the money. My other brother is in charge of her spirituality. I'm in charge of all her medical and everything else. And then my sister gets a break because she cries. That's what she told me. I can't talk to Jennifer. She cries. So, of course, she's the baby. So, yeah, you know, we got your roles. So if she would bring something up about the money, I mean, I'd call Steve and say, you know, this is what's happening. Or Brother John, don't show up unannounced because you look so much like Dad that she almost fainted. Just so you know, like little things like that. You just might have to do that in a several times and with a different person.
Maybe you're going to get to this, but how do you have these kinds of conversations when something's like really delusional? Like, I'll give a real life example of convinced that they swallowed glass. How do you, are you going to get into that, and how do you have those kinds of conversations when
Specifically, we weren't planning specifically for that, but from my background, I can tell you that a delusion is fixed. There's no convincing anybody that that isn't real. So what is the point of arguing? Instead, maybe you say, okay, what I know is, if that's true, you swallow some glass, let's get you some bread. And, I mean, I don't know if that would neutralize it or not, or continue to cut your insides. But how about if a little piece of bread, I've heard that that can really be helpful. So you're not going to convince them it's not true. Yeah. That's hard.
Yeah.
Thinking on your feet is so hard.
It is very hard.
Well, and you can't prepare. And anyway, we don't need to go off track. Go ahead.
But I would say that, but that is perfectly valid, because it's, as Lynn said, you can't argue. And with people living with dementia, you can't argue. And you have to figure out, we're teaching a class in a week or so on improv. How do we say yes and to someone living with dementia so that we can be the yes and people rather than no, no, Dad, no, no, Dad, sit down, no. You know, we don't want to be that person. And if we can be the yes and, that's how we step into their reality, because I cannot bring them into mine.
Right.
Thank you.
Yes, you swallowed glass, and I know the remedy. Right? I gotta think about those. You don't have. Yes.
Yes. What happens if there's a creation of a scenario? They're not saying that they've swallowed glass, but they're, you know, constructing a situation in the past that never happened. How do you slip by that one?
Again, you have to step outside the situation, and you know that didn't happen. Your kids know that didn't happen, but she believes that happened. Okay. It's a belief. It's not a truth. Is it going to help to get into an argument about, no, that didn't happen? I've seen this with lots of families. They're like, no, Dad, that's not what happened. And that just makes everyone upset, right? Now Dad's upset. It did too. Yes, it did. I was there. Who do you think you are? You can't tell me. You know, and then everybody's just ramping up and ramping up. So it's the yes and. Oh, yes, we went to, Timbuktu. And remember how we did something else.
Yeah, that's nice, except there's a follow-up based on the scenario created.
Right.
All right. So You know, where does that lead you to? Leads you nowhere.
It leads you nowhere. You have to figure out how to let it go, right? Oftentimes, I've seen this very hard thing. So-and-so is convinced that you're having an affair. Somebody's having an affair. And that's absolutely not true. And everybody else knows that that's not true. Remember, misfiring chemicals, nobody's fault that their brain isn't working anymore. Nobody's fault that stuff comes out of their mouth. That's not true. That's just all the brain things going on, going wrong.
So denial doesn't get you anywhere.
It doesn't.
We'll just accept you're having an affair.
Yeah. Enjoy.
Or, what was I going to say? Acknowledge the hurt.
Right.
And maybe. And when you can walk into, I grew up in a very German family, and I don't know, Norwegian family. We did not talk about emotions at all. So it is really hard for me, growing up as a kid, to sit next to somebody who started bursting into tears. I did not know what to do with that. Because in my family, it was, go cry in your room. We don't need to see that, right? So now, working with people who are living with dementia, it's like, I see that you are so sad. What's going on? Tell me about it. And often I'll get, I don't even know why I'm so sad or why I'm crying or why I'm mad. I just know that I am. Hey, do you want to go get some ice cream?
Yeah.
Right? So it's acknowledge the emotion that's in the room, or if it's that, what you were saying, can you say, tell me more? I'm not understanding what you're saying. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, it's probably the emotion, though. Yes, go ahead.
Is there any, just talk really loud. Sort of in all of these scenarios, there's no acknowledgement from the person who has dementia that they, you know, that anything's wrong. And is there any, is it worth any effort to spend on, in that space? Or is it just, we're just moving on and we're just pretending? If you say you're fine, I'm working with the narrative that you're fine.
Right.
Is that the advice that you're giving?
I think, because half of the people who have dementia know that they have dementia. They will tell you, there's something wrong with my brain. It is just not working right. They will be right up in front. The other half don't know. They think everything is perfectly fine. That group is harder to work with, for me.
Okay. Now, can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You guys are getting really good.
Most of the time, you can deal with it as your skits show. But there are some times when the truth has to come out. For example, my wife has a lot of medical appointments. I go with her, of course, and manage it all. But when we're in there together with a doctor whom I haven't been able to reach beforehand, that doctor needs to understand what he's dealing with, because out of her mouth comes all kinds of untruths or wrong information.
Right.
And right. If I go there and say, you know, my wife has, I can't say that. Yeah. So I have to always search for a way.
Here's a way.
To get the truth out so he can do his job properly. Because they don't detect it like you might think they should.
Right.
Nope.
Most of the time, they don't.
You're right.
And so how do you deal with that very serious situation?
We're going to let Tracy answer, and then I'll add on.
She'll add on. So this is what I often would say. This stuff starts coming out of my patient's mouth. I look at the doctor, and I say, he's not an accurate historian.
You know what?
An accurate historian. And then I point to the door, and the doctor would say, oh, can you? I have to go out for a minute. And he'll leave the room, and then I'll leave the room.
Oh. Wait, what do you mean he's not an accurate
historian? He's not an accurate historian. So, I'm not saying he has dementia. He's got Alzheimer's in front of him. I'm saying he's not an accurate historian, and most every provider will know what you're saying.
Oh. Yeah, so she's looking for a way to get to the doctor alone.
Right. Exactly. Right. And correct. Most doctors will go out the door with you, will want you to come out the door because they want that information.
Yeah.
Some of them want to have that conversation right in the room.
Okay, that's a good one.
Another thing, there's my chart, too. You can always send a note beforehand to the provider and, you know, say this is what, you know, I just need you to know
They don't always get the message.
I mean, it's true. Sometimes it works, but not always.
So the other big tip for me is, so we're a nonprofit organization, and we don't have power of attorney or healthcare agency for our clients. But I can call the doctor's office, and I can say, hey, I am, you know, I'm a nurse, and I'm working with this patient, and I just want you to know these are the things that I've observed. This is what I know. So we don't even have a relationship, and we will do a brain dump into the doctor's nurse, and she said, I'll put all those notes in the chart. So as a spouse, you have that capacity even more than we do.
Of course.
Yeah. You don't have to get the doctor all the time.
And depending on the stage, I had this same client that didn't want to go with me to the doctor. We get there. The nurse says, who do you have with you? She says, Irene. Okay. Irene. I hand the nurse my card with my name on it, right? And then the doctor, again, they're oblivious, don't know. She broke her back, right? So he's there all about her back. Mm-hmm. Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the brace off 1 hour at a time. I said, geez, ma'am. And he goes, okay, never mind, you're just out. You're just out of the brace. So, yeah.
As long as you don't get caught, that's okay.
Yeah, like over his head.
Yeah.
Whisper, whatever you got to do.
It's but tough.
Yeah, that's hard. Yeah. One more box.
One more box. What I used to do for the medical office, because I couldn't always go in for the appointment, is I had information that was typed out, and I had it in a folder, and I would hand it into the desk and just say, could you let the doctor see this before we come in? And that seemed to work.
Good.
5 minutes.
5 minutes, okay. This is the hard skit. This is, Mom, you're not safe here at home anymore. We got to think of an alternative living place for you.
Okay, we'll skip the greeting because we got only 5 minutes.
Yeah, positive approach. Okay, I look great. Okay, hey.
You look great. Here's the key.
Now she's going to lower the hammer.
Hey, Mom, I want to talk to you about something important, and I know this is really hard, and I know you can't see it right now, but Liz and I and your doctor are worried that you can't live alone anymore, and
why can't I live alone anymore?
I know you can't see it, but you can't. You haven't been paying your bills. There's some other things that are missing, and we're worried about your safety.
My safety? I'm doing just fine. The doctor didn't say any of that when I was in the room, and you and your sister are just ganging up on me.
Well, I know it probably feels that way. It probably feels that way, but that's not what we're doing. We're concerned.
So you want me to move somewhere other than this house? You don't want me to live in this house anymore?
Well, yes. I think it's time that you get someplace a little safer where there's people around.
I don't think that's it at all. I think all you want to do is just take this house away from me. You and your sister, you've wanted this house forever. You just want me out.
No, truly, that's not it. That's not it. It's about making sure you have what you need and being safe.
I don't... Can you imagine how devastating this is for me? Now, if you're saying that to me, then everybody around is thinking that I can't take care of myself and I've got to go into one of those places.
Yeah, that's hard. I get it. You've been taking care of everything for so long. You took care. You built this house. You raised your family here. You've taken care of everybody. You're the one that we all leaned on. I get it. This is really hard. And it's not fair. It's really not fair. I know
it's
that.
It's so not fair.
And I'm sorry to have this conversation. It's a hard one. And we have to be honest about where we are right now.
I've just not seen it the same way that you are, Lynn.
Right. But here, will you listen for a minute? Just hear me out. Right now, we would have choices. We could have choices. If we did a tour of some places, you could have a choice. And you could find the one that you like the best and fits you
and who you are. If we wait too long, you might not have a choice.
I know what you mean by that, but it sounds like it might be that you're not saying I have to move tomorrow.
Correct. You just check out some places. We'll take a couple tours.
Maybe down the road I might need something.
Down the road you might need something. We're just going to visit for now. Just visit. And would you just do me a favor and pick a day?
What do you mean pick a day to move?
Pick a day just to visit a couple places.
All right. You're the one with the schedule. What do you have open?
Okay, how about next Wednesday? And you, I want you to know that you are not alone in this. You have me, you have Liz, you have...
Yeah, but that seems to be my biggest problem right now is that I have you and Liz and that damn doctor.
That's probably true. I bet you do feel that way. I bet you do. But remember, we're in this together, and we're going to go look because you want choices. You want choices. I've seen
what is going to happen to my choices a year from now?
I don't know. I don't know what happens a year from now. But I know for right now, we could have choices about where you go when it's time.
Okay, Wednesday. We'll go look at that new place that you just opened up not too far from here.
Sounds great. I'm going to make an appointment. Thanks, Mom.
All right. It's the framing. What'd you notice?
This is skipping a little bit, but this is really an important conversation to have today, okay?
Sure.
Because there are waiting lists all over. So if you are, this is for you, you better do something right away, okay? There's 100 people waiting lists at places, okay?
Right.
And you want to get on the list and put down a deposit so that they keep calling you.
You're absolutely
okay.
Right. And okay. You need to, do a whole, we got a whole other seminar we could do on this part.
Yeah.
But being prepared, right? Being prepared. I think there
planning.
Is
one.
Plan ahead and plan ahead and be honest about all of the things that you're going to need.
I have gone so far because of the work that I do and because I see it at the worst. We just had a gentleman. He'd been trying to get his ducks in a row. He just couldn't do it. Then he got sick. His cognitive impairment just escalated really, really fast. We found him, got him in the ambulance to the hospital. He had a bunch of transfusions, and the hospital recognized he has no capacity to be alone. They held him out for 90 days. In neurology. Well, they wanted, and everybody needs to know that in every single hospital there's a courtroom in the basement. And if you don't have people to help you make those decisions, you'll end up, your case is going to end up in the courtroom in the bottom of the hospital, and they will start making those decisions for you. And we had one patient, the hospital was ready to send him to Texas for care. So, you have to plan, and it is hard. And probably one of the biggest pieces of advice that I got was from an attorney who said you can't defer decision-making to the person who has the least capacity to make the decision, mm-hmm. Right? So it's all very, it's very tough. So in this skit and in all the skits, we just tried to demonstrate how you can, in the most positive way, try to approach these conversations that are very difficult with the calm and with the positive always making that positive connection, trying to leave the dignity and the autonomy with the person who's going to have the biggest struggle with it. Right? Yeah.
The thing that's hard with some families is like you're making the assumption that you live in the same city.
No, I know it's
nope.
Hard. Nope.
We've got three of us that live all over the country.
Yeah, it's hard.
And having at least one of them lives in the same city where my 92-year-old mother is. But she'll say things, and then it's really hard to validate the truth. You know, we're navigating.
Yep.
That's a whole different.
And your family has the bigger challenge of who is the best person to have the conversation with Mom. And honestly, there are a lot of times when it's actually the answer is Lynn is the best person to have the conversation with your mom.
A trusted stranger. That's what I call myself. Yeah. I'm a nurse, so people kind of automatically, so far, trust nurses, and I'm a stranger, right? And so the trusted stranger having that conversation can be easier. Maybe it's a trusted neighbor even, but yeah.
We're being told to wrap up, and so we have handouts to give that talk about these skits and why they work and the pieces that you can take away with you for your future conversations. And if you want my business card, Lynn's business card, if you need to reach out for help, either in advocacy, that's what we're here for.
Or a hard conversation.
Right.
I want to thank our presenters.
Thank you. Good job.
A little bit of housekeeping again. You have an evaluation sheet in your program. On the front is both an evaluation for the keynote earlier and for this session. And then if you flip it, it's for the afternoon sessions. So please, this really helps us to figure out how we can do our job better. Lunch is down in the social hall, just off of the main hallway. So please go and enjoy salad, bagels, beverages, and thank you for attending.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you.